It's time for another Internet Advisor Show podcast. Since 1998, we've been helping computer users get on the Internet, get around it, and get over the problems they encounter there. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour weekly radio program heard on WJR 760 AM in Detroit since 1998 and across the state of Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor podcast.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome aboard to the Internet Advisor. Hi, this is Foster Brown, your co-host. Gary Baker and Kel Carson in studio with me, along with our social media expert, Emily Hay, and a whole host of other people. We're going to be talking about the blind surfing the Internet by voice. And we're also going to be talking about tweeting the Detroit Auto Show, which is just opening up for business. We're on a little earlier for our folks here at our flagship station in Detroit, but the rest of you, hang on. We got a great program lined up for you here on the Internet Advisor. As I said, welcome aboard. We have got a trainload of fun here at the Internet Advisor. On a little bit earlier, for those of you who listen to us live on our flagship station, WJR in Detroit. Well, for the rest of you folks on the Michigan Talk Network, thank you so much for joining us at your time in Grand Rapids, Lansing, Saginaw, Kalamazoo, and Muskegon. Delighted to be able to be on with you. We got a wonderful program lined up with us today. And Gary Baker, we're getting close to our anniversary show. That should be a lot of fun. Coming up in a...
You know, that'll be, 2 weeks from now. So it'll be our 15th anniversary. We'll start our 16th season right after that. And it's hard to believe.
It's hard to believe we've been on.
You know, when we first started this, I thought, you know, I know nothing about radio. you know, if...
But a lot about computers.
On a big station like WJR, mm-hmm. you know, if we could get 13 weeks, that would be wonderful.
And right now, I think we are the longest running...
locally
produced computer talk show in Detroit.
Certainly the longest in Detroit, but maybe the longest locally produced anywhere.
We don't know of another one. Leo Laporte's been on, I think, in L.A. for a long time, Leo.
Yeah. And he's nationally syndicated.
Yeah, he has to. We hope to have him on,
And Kim Commando does a good job.
Right.
And there's some others.
Some other folks out there. Well, right now we have distinguished folks, luminaries in the tech field like Cal Carson in studio with us. Did I shovel it hard enough, high enough, deep enough?
All the Internet.
I got a backhoe here.
It's all the Internet that's fitting all the way across the mitten.
Ooh, very good.
Ooh, that's for our Michigan Talk Radio folks. We just got to let them know we'd like to have them out there. And those guys in the Upper Peninsula, come on down.
Charlie Hopper may even have us transmitted up there with Pasty.net. Yeah, and we have Emily Hay with us, too, who is our social media expert. Emily, it's good to have you in studio.
Oh, hey there, Foster. Thanks for having me. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, too.
Hey there. Does everything start with hey there?
I have to.
You know,
hey
there.
Trademark. Hey there, socialmedia.com is her social media site. And by the way, we have some links. As a matter of fact, if you go to InternetAdvisor.net, we have a link there to a great article that you wrote on Graph Search, which is this new search from Facebook. But we'll talk about that a little later on the show.
Sounds
what I want to talk about right now is Detroit's big show is open to the public today. That is the Auto Show. And it's supposed to be a really good one this year. People are really pumped about it. I think also because the car industry is back up again. But you are going to have a very special role along with your tweet patrol.
Right. So it's officially NAIS season, that's for sure. And as much as people talk about the cars, I think technology is certainly another way to experience the show.
Huge.
So we, our team, you know, we're working with Local 4, and obviously Local 4 is very intricately involved with the show.
WDIV-TV, right?
Exactly. Okay. So again, we as consumers, we are tuning in via an app, we're tuning in via TV, we're going to the show in person, and we're tweeting about everything that we're seeing at the show. So that's something we'll be helping them with.
And, you know, when I downloaded the app to my iPhone, it says, can we connect to your Twitter account? So it's a big deal to be tweeting during the show and to be listening to your group as listening or at least reading.
Well, sure. And, you know, luckily with Twitter, everyone in the world can contribute as long as they've got a Twitter handle and they know the right hashtag to follow along.
That's right. And you're going to tell us all about that?
Sure, yeah. Well, first of all, so Local4Autos is one of the hashtags that we're using. And again,
by the way, hashtag, just quickly, hashtag is that hash mark, which looks like...
we call it a pound sign.
Yeah. Pound sign. There you go. There you go.
My kids always called it a tic-tac-toe sign.
Well, it works for that. So you would do tic-tac-toe sign, Local4Autos, as one example. But you can imagine people that are down at the show, they're adding a hashtag in front of any car that they want to tweet about. You know, they're sending out pictures, just anything, the buzz about Kobo itself. It's really neat to be able to, like I said, experience it in person, but then look down in the palm of your hand at your Twitter feed and see what's going on.
Very cute. So an opportunity to hash it out.
Oh, dear. Yeah. That's bad.
So do you like the mobile app, Gary?
I do. I think it's great. I mean, there's video. There's all sorts of things here. And I was checking out some of the charity preview things that went on last night. That looked like it was a lot of fun.
And what is the name of that mobile app again?
Well, I just went to the iPhone and said Auto Show, and it came right up.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. It's free. It's completely free to download. And I've been very impressed with it. It's had flawless streaming coverage of any of the press conferences last week. So that was neat. You know, I didn't have a way to see the live press conferences except via my mobile. And then last night you mentioned the charity preview coverage with the station in particular. People were tweeting questions, and then, you know, Carmen, Devin, the team, they were absolutely asking those questions to any of the folks they were interviewing. So it was really a neat experience.
Well, Steve was on. Was he on camera at the time, Steve? I'm trying to think of the anchor.
There was
Steve Garagiola.
No, darn. Who was the
Devin
Chuck, Guy? Devin Skilja. Devin was there.
Okay, yeah. Oh, Devin. Well, Devin, I think is the
Devin. Devin has had a back channel for a long time.
Yeah,
very tech savvy.
Very tech savvy.
He tweets very often, so it was neat because again, people that were at home watching the coverage, they could see everything going on at the charity preview, and then feel like they were connecting directly with the other side of the screen by using that hashtag.
You know, it's pretty remarkable that, you know, with all the people that were there and all the people that had their phones out and were looking at and getting the information, you know, up to the cloud, to, you know, Twitter, to be broadcast out to all of the rest of us. It's amazing that all that streaming media and the video, all that streaming media happening from this one little location at Kobo Hall.
Right.
It is astounding. By the way, we have just loaded onto our homepage there, for those of you who are listening to us during the Auto Show Week, the application. You can click on that. It will lead you to the place where you can download it for iOS or the iPhone devices or iPads or iPods, and also for Android as well. And we'll talk more with Emily Hay later on our program about Google's new graph search. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Cal Carson. And we have a number of distinguished people in studios with us right now. Somebody, as a matter of fact, who I think is going for the record of the most visits here. As a matter of fact, he boasted to me once that he thinks he has more visits to the Internet Advisor in these last 15 years than Gary Baker's own daughter, Lauren. And I'm talking about Ted. Ted, how are you doing? Ted Lennox.
I'm just great. And unfortunately, Lauren, I feel sorry for Lauren because she's not a Spartan.
Oh.
Well, and we've had this little bit of a running joke going on this week as Ted's wearing his Go Green Spartan.
Oh, my word.
Shirt.
Colorblind, I didn't pick up on that.
And there was no. there is no chance you're going to get Lauren, and little chance you'd ever get Justin to consider that.
But
of course, their mother is a Spartan.
Oh, well.
So, we have a mixed marriage.
There is something good in your family.
We do have a mixed marriage.
I love it.
Oh, dear. Well, Ted Lennox is our representative for a very important segment of our listening audience, which is the blind. And, Ted, you have been – give me background on this. Have you been blind from birth?
I have. That's
okay.
Right.
So, let's
not get into how many years that is.
So I remember Ted telling us that – well, first of all, you know, whenever I think of Ted, I think that he just doesn't know that he can't see. I remember, Ted, when you told us that your brother took you out golfing. And you would have beat him if he'd been honest.
That's right. I remember you even put me – my over in the – holding a golf club over there by that wall.
That's right.
You put it on your internet.
That's right. We posted a picture of it. Now, you're here because you are also a teacher, and I think that's one of the neatest parts, Ted, about your years of being with us and your years of teaching. You taught for a long time at Lincoln Park in the high school, right there?
High school and elementary. Mostly elementary. Yeah.
We have with us in studio today a couple of your students. Would you introduce them first? Ernie is to your right. Why don't you introduce him first in the bazaar?
This is, I cannot tell you what an honor this is to introduce Ernie. Ernie Segura, and Ernie is from Taylor, and I had Ernie I've known him since he was three or four, and I had him fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, and then I had him in the high school when I ended my career at the high school. And so, I mean, this is a very big honor to have Ernie. Ernie is just so good at this technology. It's wonderful.
Ernie, we're delighted to have you with us.
Well, it's nice to be here with you guys.
Thank you. Was he a tough teacher?
No, he wasn't.
Did he give you ace? I want to know.
Your other guest here is Bazad. Could you introduce him?
Now, I want to introduce Bazad. That's B-A-H-Z-A-D, mm-hmm. Balut. And Bazad and Ernie are basically, they were classmates together. And I remember starting them on the keyboard back in the fourth grade. Oh, wow. And then they went to computers. And, I mean, they just took off. And they're way beyond me. And it's thrilling to me, I'll tell you that.
So, guys, today, Bazad, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Delighted to have you
here.
Bazad, let me start with you. We are going to talk today. We've talked in the past. Ted has showed us, had people in here showing us how to use keyboards to talk to you, etc. Today, we're going to talk a little bit more about cell phone technology because you folks are using that. Am I right now?
Yeah, we are.
Okay, now you've got your cell phone in your hand. Can you give folks an example? If you hold it up to the microphone near your mouth there. Ernie, you've got yours out?
Yes, one of the two. Out.
If you want to, one of you two guys, just give us an example of what it sounds like to use your cell phone.
Yeah, one at a time, so we don't.
Okay, this is
confusing.
Ernie. Go ahead.
3:23.
So it just said the time here. It's at 3:23. So if I flick to the right, that's how we move from one element to the next. So flicking to the right.
Saturday, January 19th.
It said today's date.
Okay.
And then if I want to
slide to unlock,
and then I flick to the right again, it said slide or double tap. That's how you unlock the phone with a special screen reader called a VoiceOver, which is for all iDevices. And it's been on the iPhone 3GS since 2009. Wow. And it's pretty much, you can find it on iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, and the Mac. So it's pretty much all over the place.
Wow.
And the nice thing about it is you don't have to buy, for those who are blind, we have to buy a lot of, we have to pay a lot of money for screen readers.
Right.
But the nice thing about this is it's on the device, no extra cost. You just launch the device, put it in accessibility mode, and then you got it talking.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Bazad, is this part of the iOS accessibility package? Is that what it is?
Yes, it is. And in fact, as Ernie said, it's packaged with all of the iOS products, whether you have the iPad, the iPod, or the iPhone. The most interesting element about it is it doesn't just contain accessibility for those with visual impairments. You also have accessibility for those with hearing impairments, assistive touch for those who have autism. So it's pretty neat.
Wow, that's really good. Now, did you guys have to take a course in learning how to use it, or is it self-explanatory? How did you go about, you know, learning how to use it?
Well, there aren't necessarily courses. I know that there is a book, and there may be courses somewhere. But to be honest with you, I had the fortunate opportunity of having friends who had iPhones. So I've kind of gained knowledge from them in the past. In addition to that, there are several podcasts out there which you can Google. And there's a large selection of blind people who actually use the iPhone on a day-to-day basis.
Yes, I bet they do. Now, I'm curious, Ernie, can you give us an example of going to a website that takes a few steps, maybe you can get it set up so you can get ready for that
while
we're talking. Bazad, just to carry on with you, do you use this on like a laptop as well?
You can hook it into iTunes, but because of the iCloud feature, it's not necessary to use it on a laptop.
What do you mean by that?
Well, iCloud enables you to store content on it.
Oh, okay.
And you used to be able to use it with iTunes, but with the implementation of iCloud, you can store contacts, you can use it on the internet, you can do all sorts of things. Now, I'm not really a person who has a tendency to upload music on iTunes, so I just basically use my phone without the laptop.
Okay, good. Ernie, how about you? Do you use a laptop as well?
Yeah, I have a laptop. I primarily just use it to just browse the web and stuff. And when I was in, when I'm in college or whatever, I'll browse the web.
Do you use voice for that, or do you use
the
Braille?
Yeah, I have a screen reader with that. It's voice.
Yeah, we use JAWS on the laptop.
Oh, you use JAWS on the laptop. That's a specialized software. Now, Ernie, do you have a website up there?
Yes, I do have a website.
Let's hear how it sounds.
So the website I brought up is a site that helps blind individuals learn how to use their eye devices, which is AppleViz, AppleViz.com. Okay. So this site, you can search apps to see if they're accessible or not, how you can have, there's guides on how to use different things, and there's different podcasts. So if I browse, go from the top of the page. So I did a two-finger flick up to start voiceover reading. So I stopped it with two fingers.
Log out. Link. List end.
So this is
skip search this site. So text field.
So I'm just flicking to the right. So it said search this site.
Double tap, search in. Entire site. Pop-up button.
Now this is a pop-up button, which allows us to use different. Because there are different kind of categories, you would have to double tap and then choose another a different type by swiping up or down.
But the bottom line is, Ernie, that you can use this to work through all the different aspects of a page, like a pop-up or a radio box or something like that.
Yes,
right?
Yes, you can.
Bazan, can you use your phones to see things? Like, I know you can scan things with a phone. Could you use that then to read it to you with this?
Yes. There are a variety of apps for the people who are blind. There is one called Color Visor, which allows you to identify colors.
Oh, yeah.
Looktel's Money Reader is another popular one, and that actually enables you to read money. So imagine having a dollar bill in your hand or a $10 bill, and you will be able to detect it just by moving the camera close to the bill, and it would automatically verbalize what's there.
That's important, too. I know I read for a blind person for a while, and she had a very special... I could never understand how she handled the dollar, the bills, because they all feel the same. It would seem to be, at least. Anyway, she had a way of organizing them, so she knew what they were. But you can actually look at them with this applet.
Yes.
Wow.
You can.
Your phones, Ernie, your phones must be like you don't go anywhere without them.
No.
We're just like any other person.
I was just going to say, none of us could go without them.
Exactly.
Ted, you got a dollar bill
in your... You want Ernie to show it?
Yeah, okay, yes. Go.
Okay, I think he can do it quick, I think.
If you can, that's right.
Yeah.
I tell you what, you set it up between the break. We're going to do a quick break, and then we're going to introduce another person in here to the conversation, which is Matt, who's sitting in the background. He's one of our younger visitors here today, somebody who Ted is teaching now or has been teaching. Matt's blind, and we'll talk with him about what he likes to do on the Internet and on his phone as well. Welcome back. Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Cal Carson, and a whole bunch of people in here, including our old friend Ted Lennox, who has got a number of his students in studio with us. Right now, I'd like to introduce Ted's youngest student in the studio here, and that's Matthew. Matthew, welcome to the program.
Hi.
How you doing? Matt, what's your last name?
E-P-O-L-O-S-K-E-Y.
Thank you, Matt Pulaski. How old are you?
I'm 10 years old, turning 11 in September.
And where do you go to school?
Carr Elementary.
Carr Elementary. How do you know Mr. Lennox?
Basically, back in like first or second grade, I didn't know that. I mean, I used a Braille note. I didn't know that much about it. I basically used it for the basic features. Mm-hmm. And
a Braille note is what? Tell us what that is.
It's a typewriter that I use to type out my documents. It's kind of
like a Braille typewriter, right?
No,
I'm wrong.
It's basically one that goes on the end. It's like a Braille laptop.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you've had it in here, Ted, haven't you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay, go ahead.
And I didn't know that much about it. I just knew you could type out documents. I knew you could go on the Internet. I don't know. So Ms. Hilmer, she invited him over to kind of help me with it. Uh-huh. And he did that for a couple of years, and that's basically how
it's really cool. So what can you do on the Internet now? What kind of cool things can you do?
I go to, like, YouTube.com because sometimes the app is... weird. Oh, I don't use the Internet on my Braille note, if that's what you're talking about.
No. I meant not. You use a phone, right?
Yes, this iPhone 5.
An iPhone? Oh, look at that slick, a white iPhone 5. Woo-wee. Dude, you got it made in the shade. You're sitting in Cal's seat, who is our Mac expert, and he's smiling. He's grinning. Big grin. So now, what kind of things do you do with your iPhone? Move a little closer. There you go.
Use VoiceOver to help me use it. I use...
the kind of things that Ernie and Buzz were talking about, right?
Safari, yeah.
Okay, and so what else do you use?
Uh-huh.
Any particular sites that you like to go to with your phone?
Sometimes I'll go to, like, iPhone websites to go get up to date on the news, like todaysiphone.com, Techno Buffalo.
Techno Buffalo. I love that. Ooh. Do you have something on there that you can let us listen to quickly, Matt, that you've got in the, let's see what you've got going, because you've been.
Hang on, the volume's
okay. That's all right. Go ahead. What Matt's doing right now is he's just unlocking his iPhone 5, and he's getting ready to.
Photography folder. And I have everything kind of organized into folders.
Yeah. Uh huh. Oh, good. I see.
I could sort between my apps. I have newsstand.
Stores folder. Two apps.
In my stores folder, double I have iTunes and App Store. Closing
settings. Now, Matt, do you have music in there that you store?
Yes.
Oh, what kind of music do you like?
Eminem rap.
Ooh. Well, he's bad.
Yeah, you may not want me to play that.
No.
Yeah, good point.
You know this audience, ooh, don't you? Okay. Oh, boy. So there's no flies on you, my young man. You are just, you're moving right ahead.
I mean, I know what's happening. I mean,
you know, I know you do.
I know a few months ago the iMac is coming out, and there's already rumors about a new MacBook coming out. And
yes.
There's already rumors about a new iPhone coming in colors. I won't be getting that because of my 2-year contract.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
but you,
me either,
I tell you, you must be channeling Cal, basically, because he's standing recently right behind you. He's grinning. Go ahead.
So basically, when I get home from, I just go to like every single website and every single YouTube video. Like, every single latest YouTube video that day that I could find, like, from CNET TV.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what CNET TV is?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Yes, I do. I listen. As a matter of fact, I listen to the podcast on there quite a bit. Leo Laporte's one of my favorites there. Now, did you go to this AppleViz.com, that AppleViz site? Have you been there?
No, well, I've not been there.
Guys, Ernie and Buzzard, what kind of things could Matt find there, do you think, Buzzard?
AppleViz, actually, well, you can find app reviews, and these reviews are quite significant because they're actually posted by people who are blind. So you have people who have actually tested these applications out for accessibility, because sometimes apps can read, VoiceOver can read the information to you, sometimes it can't.
Yeah,
and
right.
They test it out. They tell you whether it's free or paid. They have an app description. So it's almost a guarantee that you'll find something that you like there. There are hundreds, if
that's
not
fantastic.
More.
That's fantastic. That's, again, AppleViz.com. I'll post that as we go along in our show notes as well, so people can get at that.
Like, put the link in the description.
I box. Will do that. I will do that with our show notes, which is like the description of what goes on here. And now, go ahead. Yes, Matt.
So you listen to, like, Twit?
Yep.
This week on
What's
trending?
You got it. I listened to all those things. I tell you, you have to tell me some more things to listen to. I want to ask you guys, all three of you, Ernie, about, and Ted, just a second, just quickly, about social media. Since we have Emily in here, do you guys use, like, is there Facebook? I mean, is there something in particular that works well for you guys, Ernie?
I use the native Facebook app with VoiceOver. It works pretty well. There are a few glitches here and there, but most of all, it works okay. I also have a special app for Twitter because I'm not really a fan of the native Twitter app called Tweetlist Pro for Twitter, which is a paid app. But
there's one that you could use.
It's one I can use. There's tons of Twitter apps. That
Do you use Twitter a lot?
Not really. I just usually follow some of my.
You follow some
blind
other people.
Friend.
Baza, do you use Twitter?
No, I use Facebook.
You use Facebook. Okay. Are there other social apps that you use that work for you?
Not really. Facebook is basically my only source.
Yeah. Matt, you asked before we got on the air about Google Plus. Do you use any kind of a social media site?
I wish I could, but unfortunately, I can't.
You can't because you won't be allowed to, or because you haven't learned how to?
Because I won't be allowed to.
Because I didn't think it had anything to do with ability for you, young man. Ted, you were going
to
say something
your
before.
Your father's here to make sure.
I think it would be worth taking time for Ernie or Bazad to explain and demonstrate Siri.
Oh, yes.
Can I please do that?
Well, wait a minute. I'll let you join in with them. Go ahead, guys, because we don't have too much time. So which one of you would like to do that? Ernie?
I can do it.
Okay. And then, Matt, you can chime in, too. Yes.
Right. No, don't interrupt each other, please.
Okay. There you go, Ernie.
So I'll ask Siri, what time is it in
California?
I'll ask it, what time is it in Los Angeles, California, for example.
Safari.
What time is it in Los Angeles, California?
You said, what time is it in Los Angeles, California? In Los Angeles, CA, it's 12:40 p.m. Los Angeles, 12:40 p.m.
So okay. It said it was 12:40 p.m.
Matt, did you have something that you wanted to ask Siri? Get it ready so we can hear you asking it.
Basically, I like it. We're in the new iOS 6. I'm running 6.0.2. I'm
yes.
Running 6.1.
Okay, right up to date.
And basically, I like it how you can open up apps. So let's say I want to open up iHeartRadio.
Go ahead.
Siri, open up the app iHeartRadio.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, Siri's trying to make her mind up, I think. Is she doing it?
No, it just opened.
I have a new notification from messages. Nicholas Krasnodemsky. Right,
so you're getting messages as well. Yeah. You little stinker. Now, Buzzard, I heard
snap.
A message coming. Snap is right. I heard a message coming through there. Do you get messages that way as well, Buzzard?
Yeah. Yep. All of us use text messages.
Gotcha.
And I even have an app called WhatsApp, and it allows me to communicate with family out of the country.
Ooh.
WhatsApp, Viber. There's also another application called Tango.
Yes, Tango is a VoIP,
a
voice
app,
yeah. Voice over
and
internet.
We can use and that.
I have Skype as well.
You have Skype? What, yep. Do you use anything like that to call, Matt?
FaceTime. I used to use Tango when my friend had an Android phone. Uh-huh. Now I just use the built-in FaceTime thingamajig.
Okay. So
basically, really quickly.
Hang on, Matt. Turn the other way so we can talk. There you go. Right there.
For the notifications, Bazad and Ernie, what do you, like, do you use the where the little white strip appears at the top, or do you have it to where it pops up with a big blue box?
It pops up. We have push notifications, just like everybody else.
So do you, but do you have it to where it has the big blue box alerts?
I don't know about colors.
Yeah. Foster.
I like text messages.
Foster, Matt's taking over your job as the interviewer.
He's doing a great job.
He's asking all the questions.
He's doing a great job. I'm going to sit back and listen.
You know, in the old iOSs, you had it to where when you got a notification, you would get that big alert thing that pops up in the middle of the screen and says, you have one new notification.
Yeah.
Would you like to close or reply?
No, we don't
have it that way.
Oh, I did. I just thought it got so much in the way, I turned it back to
I would imagine, because you guys are depending on your ears and can't see different visual elements, that would be really big. Listen, guys, we're almost running out of time. Ted, do you want to wrap this up with anything?
I would like to wonder, we've talked about Siri, but does the radio audience know what we're talking about?
Siri, yeah, I think Siri,
does
for most
everybody
people,
understand
that's a good
that?
Point.
I think
Siri is, and you heard the guy's dealing with it. It's like a woman's voice, but essentially Siri is the voice recognition software, the natural speech recognition software that is part of the iOS platform. That is the basic, if you will, mobile platform for Apple devices.
But what
and
does
so
Siri
have,
do, Ernie?
Go ahead, Ernie. Just,
well, Siri, it can look up various things for you and tell you the answer. Like, you can ask it in iOS 6, for example, sports scores about, like, for example, the Red Wings, who are coming back finally. Yay.
Woohoo! My wife is all set this evening. Banner and...
So the Red Wings, you can look up... I guess if you install this Open Table app, you can reserve seats to restaurants.
Oh, yeah, there's all sorts of things you can do. Guys, we've run out of time here. Ted, I'm sorry we don't have hours more. It's been a ball having you in here. Folks, you are listening to the kind of great thing that teachers like Ted have done for people like Buzzard Bellot, Ernie Segura, and Matt. Thank you very much for being with us as well. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell. No, he's on vacation. Sorry. Cal Carson. It's funny. We've been teasing because, Cal, I think you may have found somebody who will be a worthy replacement for you should you go on vacation.
I have totally decided that I am going on vacation, and you now have your fill-in. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's been great today.
No, you stay right there. Matthew, thank you so much. You've been a great... Matthew, you wanted to give a shout-out. Go ahead and give a shout-out to your friends.
Two shout-outs.
Go ahead.
Number one, these people, one of them said if I give them a shout-out, they'll give me $20 on Tuesday.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. We got to have a cut of that. Go ahead. I don't know how legitimate that is. I don't know how legitimate that is.
And the YouTube channel is youtube.com/Drazon, Drazon. 3312, and those are the numbers 3312. And the other person,
what is that for? I'm sorry, what is that? What is that YouTube channel for?
Drazon 3312.
Yeah,
and he basically does like Minecraft things.
Okay.
So if you're interested in Minecraft, then check
it
out. And the other one is youtube.com/techshowapple. He's my friend Nicholas.
Yeah.
And it's all one word: T E C H S H O W A P P L E. It's all one word. No spaces.
A-P-P-L-E. And he does a tech show. Is he blind like you
are? Basically, he does a text show / music video.
Okay,
/
but is he blind like you are?
Yes.
Oh, that not is the so other, cool. Not the other one, but that one is there.
Yes.
The text show Apple, right?
Yeah, all one word.
And that's on YouTube?
Yep.
Oh, that's
and
so
subscribe.
Sweet.
And if you don't subscribe, I might eat a jelly bean.
All right. I'm waiting for you to have your own show on the internet.
I know, right? I need one.
Yes, I'm
you
waiting.
You do.
You have to let me know.
I don't know if your
listen.
Dad will be able to handle you anymore. We're going to lock you in the basement or something.
I need a camera, though. I just use this thing, the iPhone.
You will.
You've got a
you
camera
will.
Right in your hand.
Matthew.
And I have the iMovie app.
You do. Great. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now somebody turn that microphone off so I can talk to Emily. I'm kidding, man.
That is
I'm
a tough
kidding.
Act to follow.
He is
no,
a hard
so
one, isn't
to
he?
Hear from them.
Emily Hay is with us. Emily, by the way, is our social media expert, and we've asked her to begin this week, among other things, to talk about, again, you and your tweet team have been working mm-hmm. with local TV4, WDIV-TV. You were working on the press part of the auto show, right, with the tweeting there?
Actually, we are tweeting starting today live on site since
sorry.
Public
okay.
show kicks off. Yep.
Okay,
yep.
The public mm-hmm. show starts on this Saturday today. For those of you listening to the recording of this, this is Saturday, January the 19th that it's starting. It'll be going on through, help me, Gary.
What next is? Sunday?
Next Sunday. Okay, mm-hmm. the 27th, I think, is going to be the last day for
I
it.
Believe so.
Anyway, it's a great show, and it's a really victorious kind of triumphant time for Detroit now because you've been down on the show, haven't you? You've been down on the show floor?
I am heading down there on Monday. I started the week by tweeting from the Corvette unveil
Ooh.
At the Russell Industrial Center. Yeah, so that was, again,
very
with
cool.
local
Isn't
car.
That Stingray sweet as it
oh,
comes?
Oh, gosh, it's definitely been the most talked about car, it seems. You know,
it is my plan this summer to be driving that car.
That and a 60-inch TV are in his plans.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. 100-inch.
Yeah, that launch actually had its own hashtag. So,
oh,
yeah,
wow.
I don't know if anyone was following. That was 1-13-13, since that was the big, you know,
wow,
cool
fantastic.
Date. For the,
now, during we wanted you to talk to about something that came out this week. Facebook said they had a big event coming, and everybody was thinking, mm-hmm. oh, it's the Facebook phone that's coming out or something big. And then they said there was this thing called Graph Search, and everybody went, huh?
It's what? Not a very glamorous huh? title, that's for sure.
What is Graph Search, and so what?
Sure. So Facebook Graph Search is what you can consider to be Facebook search engine. So, we turn to Google to get answers on something like coffee shop and a zip code.
Mm-hmm.
But now Graph Search is, think of it as very personal and subjective searching, like which one of my friends have gone to a coffee shop nearby last week.
So, obviously, you know, the searches all started out with keyword search and all that. This is taking it, a quantum leap beyond that because it's really context search, right?
Exactly. I mean, think about it. How many years have we been using Facebook now? And they've been gathering all this data from us. That
and there are, what, almost
provided.
Close to a billion users on it, I think?
Absolutely. A billion users.
There's
so,
a few of those I probably don't need to connect with.
Right. And we wouldn't understand them if they spoke to us anyway because it's a different language. But the key, when you say a context search, tell me what that means. You guys seem to know. I don't.
Sure. So, again, if Facebook's been gathering this information from us, now they're helping us sort through it and make sense of it all. So,
but it's only the information that is shared publicly or
exactly.
with me?
Just so the first layer is the Graph Search is only going to search within Facebook. So that's one thing.
Okay.
And then the next layer in that is you're only going to get results back from people that you've connected with or that have opted to share information with you.
Okay. So in other words, if I ask what friends have visited a Mexican restaurant in Ferndale,
mm-hmm.
I would have had to have had friends who did visit a Mexican restaurant in Ferndale or wouldn't get any information back, right?
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it will depend entirely then on how big a network you have. Which
yeah.
I think might encourage people to extend their network, I would think. You think? In other words, to get more results, I'm going to guess, to
yeah.
like more people or follow more people.
Now, when you say network, you're talking about the number of friends they have?
Yes, yes.
Oh, man, I'll have to get up to 7 then.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it, you know, so that you can.
I don't have 7.
I'll share a taco with you next week.
Thank you. Thanks,
but isn't that the key, though, Emily, that part of this will drive people to open perhaps their who they're following or who they allow to follow them in order to be able to get more data in order to be able to search for that more effectively?
Sure. I see it that way, too, Foster, but I know people might see the flip side of, well, now I want to be more, you know,
exclusive about
what
yeah,
I
did, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And something, you know, people talk about that, that down the road you'll be able to do this with additional features on Facebook, like, you know, status updates. But right now it's just in its beta phase. So,
So now I only can have friends that have good taste, which restricts that even more down from the two.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's really cool when you stop and think that Facebook is going to theoretically allow us to put human language, you know, really long queries real speak.
I think,
pretty cool.
Yes, I think that is probably one of the interesting things about it, that you can just ask it a natural language question, mm-hmm. and it will be responding to that.
I just want to jump back for a second because we went by really fast. Now, are you going to be down at the auto show with your tweet team again this week?
Oh, yeah. So I'll be down there Monday. I'm heading down on Martin Luther King Day. But we have team members there today. We have team members there tomorrow. And again, anyone that uses that hashtag Local4Autos, their tweets are going along with our discussion down at the show.
Is there anywhere down on the floor where we find a tweet team if we want to meet them?
Why don't you go ahead and tweet that? Say, hey, I'm on site and would like to run into someone.
By the way, and that's local four, the number?
Correct. The digit
local,
four.
The number four, auto. Okay, local
autos
four.
Autos with auto. An S.
Oh, autos. Okay, mm-hmm. plural. Very good. Okay, that's hashtag local4autos is your tweet team down there. What will this mean for businesses, getting back to graph search on Facebook?
Sure. Well, again, when you just stop and think, if a business doesn't have a presence on Facebook, then that alone, I mean, they're not even eligible to come up in any search. And then second, it's back to the whole, you have to contribute in order to be relevant. So if a business's Facebook page hasn't been touched or updated in a long time, it might not come up in searches. So it'll be interesting to see what it does for businesses, but at least shows us that a presence on Facebook is definitely important.
Becomes very much
today.
More important now. Yeah.
Facebook, the new big brother. You know, people used to always worry about Google gathering so much information. I think Facebook is way beyond that.
Well, that's a very interesting subject you bring up, because now we have two major organizations, Google and Facebook, that have gathered terabytes of information. I don't know, more than, what's the next one? Petabytes, probably, of information from their listeners. I mean, from their users. You got Google with its, I forget, what it is. What was it? How many searches a day does Google do? It's
a lot.
Millions. I'm like per hour, I think it's like millions.
But I think the most important thing to take away from this is that, you know, Big Brother, maybe not, maybe, I don't know. But be careful what you share, and if you want to share it, you know, responsibly. If you don't want to share it, you know what to do. But it's a great tool to have out there so that you can do more effective social networking.
Yeah, well, it should be very interesting to follow this. And by the way, you're going to be back with us on February the 2nd, I hope.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'll be looking forward to it.
And we're going to be talking about some of the other things that have been going on in the social media realm as well. Emily Hay, you can find her at Hey There Social Media. By the way, if you go to internetadvisor.net, you'll find links from many of the things we've talked about today, including many of the things for the blind. Thank you all for being with us in this hour. Coming up this next hour, it's time to get your questions answered at 800-859-0WJR. That's 800-859-0957. Get on the horn, and we'll get back to answer your questions in just a moment after this break.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. If you want to see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage or enter our forums and place your question there. You can also friend us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor Show podcast. It's hour number two of the Internet Advisor. Wait a minute, you say. It's early yet. Sorry, we've got a special time this week, so we are ready to take your calls right now. That's right. We will be on for the next 60 minutes to answer your questions at 800-859-0957. The we is Gary Baker, Cal Carson, our Apple expert, and also Emily He, our social media expert, in here to help you answer questions at 800-859-0957. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. Hi, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Cal Carson, and Emily Hay in studio. We're delighted to be able to be with you for this hour to help answer your questions at 800-859-0957. Here's how the game works. First come, first serve. We'd love to talk with you. If you got a question about, you got a new computer for Christmas, and I know a lot of people in my building have gotten a Windows 8. Because they've gotten new computers, and there's a lot of questions about how do you do this and how do you do that on it. And if you've got questions about that,
I've done a little bit of work with it, so I can give you a little hand there. Otherwise, Gary is around. He's been around computers for a long time. Gary Baker with PCs, and so has Cal Carson. But Cal also brings the knowledge of the Apples as well.
I'll go over to this mic because it works better than the other one that's dead over there.
The one that's off. Yeah.
I really got to give up on this radio thing. It's not going to pan
no,
out.
No.
The great thing about today, too, is that if you have questions about social media, hey, it's a heyday here at the Internet Advisor.
Hey there day.
And you definitely want to check out and call in because Emily's here to answer any of those questions as
good
well.
Good point. If you have, you know, Facebook and you have questions about what goes on here and how to get around there, Emily is our social media expert and she's in studio with us. So please use this opportunity as well. Right now, we have somebody calling in from Grand Rapids, I understand. That's Danny Bennett. How you doing? I'm doing very well, sir. Thank you for being with us. You've got something to tell us about, something exciting coming up very soon for those listening to our live program.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking forward to talking about it.
All right. And, you know, everybody has said there's no such thing as a free lunch. Danny, are you going to prove us wrong?
We are absolutely going to prove you wrong.
Tell us about it.
Yeah. So the organization, it's a nonprofit. It's called Free Lunch Friday. And I founded Free Lunch Friday. Actually, it was really an idea years ago, probably like 5 years ago, in Grand Rapids, actually, because that's where I'm initially from. Mm-hmm. And we just, you know, it was one afternoon, and around lunch, and I was like, you know what, we need to invite the entrepreneurs of the community out for some lunch. And so I sent a message out on social media, and I went to Costco, and I bought an industrial grill, and I bought some beer and food, and when I showed back up at my office, I had about 50 entrepreneurs that were there.
Of course, because entrepreneurs are, you know, sometimes they forget about lunch altogether. They're so excited about
starting a family. Or they run on beer, one of the two.
Or a lot of times they put all their money into the company and don't have money for food.
So. There you go.
Yeah, that's true. And I think, you know, for me it was a way to thank them for the work that they do, right? Because, you know, all month long and they work so hard, they grind it out, they sacrifice so much to pursue their passions. But their passions oftentimes, well, they do. I mean, they lead to job creation.
Oh, absolutely. Right? And in particular, I think you're talking about one of the most exciting things that's happening in Southeast Michigan, across Michigan, pardon me, in general, is the growth of these startup tech companies. Mm-hmm. I was just reading it out. Go ahead.
No, it's actually an international thing, really, that's happening, because what people are realizing is that our economy is so broken, and the only way to get it back into shape, truly, is to start investing and believing in startup companies, because, you know, whether it's Henry Ford or Edison or some, you know, whoever it is, everything started as a startup company.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, it started as a simple idea, and somebody, you know, essentially put all their passion and energy into building it into a great company, and now, you know, it provides a lot of jobs, and it allows people to put food in their mouths and their family.
We have one of those startup companies here represented by Emily Hay, who is in our studio with us with Hey There Social Media. You started just how many years ago now, Emily?
Thanks. Yeah, it'll be 2 years this spring.
Wow, just 2 years.
Oh, cool.
Wow, that's so cool. So where are you going to hold? And that's going to be coming up on Friday, the next Friday, which is
The 26th, right?
Yeah, 25th. It's going to be it'll be at Atomic Object in Detroit.
That place is really cool.
And so it'll... Go ahead.
Go ahead. Atomic Object. Where is that?
Yeah. Atomic Object. It's right downtown Detroit. And Atomic Object is a software company out of Michigan. They have, you know, they started in Grand Rapids and recently in the last year have opened up a Detroit office.
Cool. Is that down? Is that down the Harmony Park area, Emily?
Yeah, exactly. It's the... Oh, gosh, I'm so bad.
That's okay. The point is this, Danny, and we don't have an awful lot of time. We want to get people connected. The way to find out more details about this is to go to our homepage at internetadvisor.net. And on our homepage, we have a listing there. The link hasn't been working, but we put down the link for you, which is thefreelunchfriday.com. But if you go to internetadvisor.net, you can see that. You can just copy that link and put it in. And when they go to that, they can sign up for this, right?
And this is the first Friday that they're doing it, and they're doing it in two places across the country, one in L.A. and one right here in Detroit. Is that right?
That's correct. And following that, guys, we're going to be launching 2 to 3 new locations a month internationally. So we're talking to Singapore and some Australia and London and
that's pretty cool.
All kinds of international, but also nationally we'll be launching Phoenix and probably D.C. in February.
Cool. Danny, who should show up for this? Who should go to the free Friday lunch and make sure they get there?
Well, this is what we say. We say we feed the hungry startups and entrepreneurs that feed our global economies. And so, essentially, if you're hungry, I mean, if you're a hungry entrepreneur and you're wanting to build a great company, produce jobs,
I like it.
This is your passion. We don't want people that you better be serious when you show up for Free Lunch Friday.
No tourists. We want people that really care.
So basically, he doesn't want like radio station guys showing up, that sort of thing. Yeah.
If you're a startup, if you started a company, they can go sign up on your site and then show up, and they'll be with other entrepreneurs. Talking about very, very cool stuff over your free lunch.
Yeah. So at the location, we only allow 100 people to sign up, and we do that because we want it to ultimately be intimate, and it's about community. And we don't feel like, you know, if it gets too big, we can't provide the community and support that we really want to provide.
Danny, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for joining us here in our second hour of the Internet Advisor. We're a little bit earlier for those of you listening to our live program because of MSU basketball coming up tonight and a big battle between MSU and Ohio State later on here on our flagship station, WJR in Detroit, 760. But for those of you listening to our network, just enjoy the program. And by the way, if you have a question for us, you can always go to internetadvisor.net and use the Contact Us form or the forum. But right now, those of you who are lucky enough to be listening to us in Detroit, you have a chance to call us immediately at 800-859-0957. And that's what Doris did from Commerce. Doris, welcome, and how may we help you here on the Internet Advisor? Hello, Doris.
We know you're there, Doris. We know you're
there. I'm here.
Okay, good. Guy, I got you here. Okay, what can we do for you? You have a question about...
when my son went off to the big world and left home, he left a 1990s Mac PC here.
Yes.
And I would like to get rid of it, but I don't want to just throw it in the trash. I just wondered if there's any place to take it where, I don't know.
Yeah, right. It's a Mac. Now, you said, what is it, by the way?
It's a Mac PC. Let me see.
Is it one of those big all-in-one, all-one-piece ones that's sitting there?
It's a flat thing and then a screen, and it's got an Apple on the front.
Ah, okay.
It says Power Macintosh 610060.
Oh, yes, I remember that quite well. That's one of my favorite models back when I was that age.
Like one?
as much as I would, unfortunately, I can't use one right now. So there's a bunch of different things you can do. The first thing that popped in my head, and I can't remember the gentleman with the church
Steve
that
Beck,
recycles.
Steve Beck, with so, Global Ministries. Yeah, Global Tech Ministries.
They will take it, and they can recycle it for you as well. I would say that you could also take it to Best Buy, and they will recycle PCs there as well. Mm-hmm. There's Great Lakes Recycling. They do recycling of PCs as well.
What city is that in?
Oh, you'd have to go out on the net and go to Great Lake.
So yeah. I would suggest just say PC Recycle in Detroit.
Okay, but you realize that I don't go out on the net?
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay.
Sorry about that.
Well, then maybe what would be the best thing would be the Best Buy suggestion, because they do recycle at Best Buy, right?
Yes, they will.
And then there's pickupplease.org that you could go to as well. But if you don't look at on the net at all, we could what's the best way to get this information?
Well, I think in her particular case, it may be a Best Buy, but for other people who are listening, who maybe have the same question, you have equipment, please don't just put it on the curb. Don't just throw it away. Because very often, as a matter of fact, what you're putting into the landfill is some dangerous stuff. You don't want to have the heavy metals and all the rest of the stuff there. And in a lot of places, they don't want you doing that. And the big old cathode ray tubes, the CRTs, the big old huge, humongous monitors, that's the last thing you want to do is put those in the garbage because they have lead in them and a bunch of a whole other things. So,
is it okay if I give her the phone number to Great Lakes Recycling?
Please, there you go.
Okay. Here, why don't you give these guys a call, and if they can't handle it for you, they can point you to the right person. Okay. And that'd be Great Lakes Recycling, 586-779-1310. And they're open on Saturday till 1 o'clock, but you can call them during the week.
779-1310.
You are correct. Yeah, and if you, and let them know where you're at and ask them what you can do, and maybe they can point you to someone in your neighborhood that they can help you out with it.
Okay, Doris?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Good question.
Yeah. And for other people, pickupplease.org. Vietnam Veterans of America. Ooh. You can schedule a pickup. They'll come out and pick it up for you.
Well, you know, we're going to have to do a show sometime where we do we'll do a show on this because we have people asking, and with a lot of the new things coming in, the new Windows operating systems, a lot of other ones, people are getting new devices. Please don't trash the old
You know,
ones.
Spring is going to be coming as the next season. We can have it our spring cleanup show.
There you go. Excellent. Done. Some municipalities will have that as well, but that's a great one to do.
I made that up just like that.
I love it. I love it. Okay, let's go. By the way, again, Emily Hayes here in studio with us, and I know we've solicited computer problems, but I know there's a lot of you out there who use social media, and I get asked questions about Facebook, and you may have some about that yourself. Emily is an excellent person to ask about that, and Google Plus and some of the other social media programs that are out there. So please take advantage of her being in studio with us today at 800-859-0957. First come, first served. Okay, let's go back out to Kathy, who is with us from Roseville. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What can we do for you?
Oh, I created a problem for myself.
Do tell.
I do that all the time.
Yes, we all do that.
That's my only problems are the ones that I create.
Yes. Oh, okay. I had gotten a new printer, a new HP printer, and I installed it. And then when I went in to add and remove programs, because they wanted to remove my old printer off of the program, and I saw that there was a SoundMax on there, and I thought, well, what the heck is SoundMax? I didn't remove it. All I did was change. I clicked on a change, and now I don't have any sound on my computer.
Hmm. Oh. So when did you do this?
I did that Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay. So are you familiar with System Restore?
I went into Systems Restore, and I couldn't get it to go back a couple of days. I did that yesterday.
So
I tried.
You went back to a restore point? You had a restore point?
She couldn't.
Yes.
But it wouldn't work?
No.
Okay.
I couldn't go back a couple of days.
Who is the manufacturer of your computer?
Dell.
Oh, excellent. This is what I'm going to suggest that you do.
Okay.
You can still get on the Internet, right?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Now, you're going to go to the Dell website at www.dell.com.
Yes.
And on the side of your Dell computer, you will see something called an express code or a service tag number.
Okay.
You're going to write that down on a piece of paper. And then when you go to that website, it'll have a spot on there where you can click for support. And under support, it'll be a place where you can type in your express code or your service tag number.
Okay.
When you type that in, it will bring up all of the drivers that were on that computer when it was built. And you're going to search.
Well, it's kind of old.
Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter that it's old.
Oh, okay.
And then you're going to go down that list and find the driver for sound. And it'll say on that list for sound.
Okay.
You're going to download that driver to your computer. It'll be a little button to click for download.
Uh-huh.
And if you download that driver and follow the instructions to install it, you'll get your sound back.
Oh, really?
Yes, ma'am.
Huh.
Isn't that nice?
I didn't know it was that easy. I tried all day yesterday to try to get the sound back. I even went into the SoundMax.
Yep.
And, you know, they had downloads for that, but then that was only a 30-day
free trial. That's a separate program. What Cal is talking about, I believe, are the native drivers for sound on your computer. It's the ones that were built into the machine that you get free of charge that comes with it. Okay?
Okay.
Try that and let us know how it works out.
All right?
I sure will. Thank you.
Thank you so much for giving us a call. And again, the number is 586-940-1633. You know, I see that often, Cal, that when people have problems, and for instance, when they have to reinstall, let's say you have a problem that's so bad you can't fix it, you have to put your software back on, a Windows 7 or XP or whatever it may be you put back on. And I don't know if it's the same with Macs, but with PCs at least, one of the problems you run into, like with the Dell, and I've had this happen a number of times, I used the install disks. It installed the program back, but I couldn't get anything to work because it didn't have the drivers.
Correct.
And then I had to go back to Dell to get the basic drivers that ran the machine, which means the instructions for the sound and for the CD drive and everything else.
Exactly. And luckily, Dell does maintain a really nice for that very type of thing. And because if you have your Express Code tag number, they can give
it's
you...
It's called service tag. I think it's called the service tag number.
They'll give you every one of the drivers that were put on that machine when it was built.
Yeah, it can be kind of confusing. You think, well, I reinstalled the system. How come things don't work? And I had the same question when that first happened to me. And it was because, you know, suddenly I couldn't get my sound to work. My mouse wouldn't work. The CD drive wouldn't work. And it was because those basic drivers also had to be put back down. Now, does that happen on the Mac?
No.
Because they're basic. They're in the installer.
All their drivers are already in their operating system loaded into it for that particular time period of that machine.
One more reason we're so happy to be on Apple products.
Back in just a second. 800-859-0957. Thank you. Once again, we have a special crew. We're a little earlier with our questions than we normally are because our program's been shifted ahead because of Michigan State basketball. It's coming up for those of you listening to us live here on our flagship station, WJR 760 AM. And welcome to the rest of you who are listening to us on the network. You can get hold of us, you folks out there. Please do, by the way, get hold of us with your questions at our Contact Us form, which you'll find at internetadvisor.net or on a forum. So you get lots of people chiming in to help you there. All right, let's go back out to our... Oh, by the way, we have Gary Baker, Cal Carson, who can handle all things Apple as well as PC, and Emily Hay is in here. Emily, I want to ask you a question I've been noticing on Facebook, just quickly before we get to our next caller, who is Mark from Ypsilanti. I have been noticing that suddenly I find, like my sister in Dallas, who I had friended, you know, I had liked her, I thought I was following her, my wife is telling me suddenly, did you see that your sister has been home all week long with viral pneumonia? No! Oh. And she had been posting all week long. Suddenly, I'm not seeing some people in my news feed that I used to see. And I've also turned off that, what's the feed on the right-hand side called? The ticker?
Oh, sure. Okay, you turned that off.
I turned it off because I just found it too distracting.
So, Foster, did your sister unfriend?
No, I hope not.
I hate to bring that up, Foster. Yes.
One has to ask that, don't they? Yeah, okay.
Well, Foster, did you head over to her profile and see, you know, one quick thing you can just check is if you go to her profile, and like Gary said, you'll see right away if you're friends, but if you hover over that friends button, mm-hmm. the drop down comes up and you can click, you want to make sure that the checkbox is checked next to show in newsfeed.
Okay, I've got friends here, and it does say show in newsfeed.
Oh, it does.
That's weird. I just wondered if something happen to your...
She just didn't want to worry you.
Yeah, I think that may be it. But my wife did know about my dear sister. She's going back to work now, but she had been off for a while, and she had viral pneumonia, really nasty, for about a week. But I wondered, can that happen where you just kind of suddenly drop out? Or the way to check it, as you said, is to go to search for that person's name, go to their site, and then see if you're friends.
Yeah, make sure you're friends. Make sure you're checked. But you just did that. So in the fact that it was checked, I guess my other quick thought would just be, again, remember Facebook, their newsfeed algorithm is very complex. And so if she hasn't posted in a long time, maybe other more active pages and people in your newsfeed have unfortunately trumped her
activity. You got to have them show in your newsfeed too, don't you? That's part of the thing that you look for on that friends.
Yeah, that's what you would make sure that there's a check mark next to show in news feeds. You're saying, I definitely want to make sure I'm getting...
So you click on the friends thing, and then it says show in news feed, settings, close friends, acquaintances, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You can also unfriend somebody at the bottom of that if you got somebody you want to get rid of.
Sure.
Sorry to talk about it that way. It's kind of like Terminator. All right, let's get back. If you get a question, by the way, Emily, about your social media, this is the time to ask. 800-859-0957. Let's go to Mark in Ypsilanti. How can we help you with your boot drive questions here on the Internet Advisor?
All right. I've got a gamer system, and I got a 60-gig SSD that is the initial boot drive for it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started using it, I didn't carefully watch my download. So that I've got a secondary drive, which is a 1 terabyte drive.
Okay.
Now my 60-gig SSD is almost full, and I want to replace it with a 120-gig SSD, but I want to copy it to the 100. I want to copy everything on the boot drive to the 120 SSD and replace the 60 with the 120.
I got you.
Now I'm running Windows Professional Home, Windows 7 Professional Home, and I'm wondering, is there easy ways to do this? Do I need to buy a standalone program? How do I go about it?
I, When you copy all the contents of the original drive to the new drive, are you looking to have the old drive still be a bootable drive?
No, I'm probably going to blank wipe that drive and use it as some other type of storage capacity. Put it in a case for a standalone, you know, a external case, and plug it in for an extra drive.
Yeah. The only thing I could think of, and I wish you had this here.
Or I might, because I'm thinking about building my son a computer and take that 60 and use that as a boot drive for his computer.
Can I ask a question while Cal is noodling on this? Is there some reason why you're filling up that 60 gig SSD?
Well, what happened was when I initially got the system, I didn't carefully monitor where things I was downloading was going to. And I didn't start doing that until later, making sure it goes to my secondary, my terabyte drive. Some of the boot drive got filled up.
So just explain to folks, he's got two hard drives, the SSD or the solid-state hard drive, which is very, very fast, doesn't have any moving parts, is where you basically put your operating system on that and you load your program files in them. Am I right, guys?
Right.
And then you put the contents that you get through there, like your pictures, your documents, and
any video,
et cetera. Right. You put that on the big SATA drive, which is the terabyte drive, right?
I've also been moving my games to the terabyte drive.
Oh, you got them?
The terabyte drive.
Because they were on the SSD drive. Okay.
And because they could be larger.
Yes.
Right. The MMO games will eat up a lot of space.
So what's taking up all the space on the SSD?
Well, he just put a lot of...
The games that he has needs to have working space.
I had a previous computer, and I downloaded a lot of stuff from the previous computer, and I tried to make sure it went to the SATA drive.
Okay.
But some of the things I downloaded from the Internet, like I said, I wasn't watching it as closely as I should have, and it went to the SSD. I want to go from the 60 to 120.
Right, right. Okay.
And I want to know the easiest way to do an image, and whether or not Windows Professional will do it for me, whether or not I can take Windows 7 Professional and do an image of the SSD into my terabyte drive, put the new drive in, use a boot disk, boot up the new drive, and then take that image and put it on the boot drive, the new drive. You know, I don't know what's the easiest and most effective way to get this.
He wants to take that image and put it on a new drive.
The easiest and most effective way to do it, in my opinion, would be to get a piece of software called Acronis. Mm-hmm. And then what you do is you'd load Acronis onto... First of all, you'd install the 120 into the machine, the same one that you have the 60 into. You would load Acronis True Image, which is a imaging software, onto the 60. And then you'd run that program and tell it to image from the 60 to the 120. After it finishes imaging, then you'd have everything that was on the 60 on the 120. You'd change your BIOS to make the 120 your boot drive, and then you could wipe the 60 and do whatever you want with it.
And then you could take
how big is the Acronis? Because I'm not sure how much room I got. I think I got like five gigs left.
No, no.
When you get a Acronis, you'd actually run it off the CD that it came on.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right.
All right. So I would install the 120 into the system.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I would put Acronis, and it's an imaging software.
Right. Correct.
I would image the...
You install that. You install that on the 60.
Right. I will install it on the 60.
Right.
Then I have a Acronis image the 60.
Right.
And put that on the 20. Then I go into the BIOS.
Right.
And switch the computer views the two.
Right.
Drives.
So you would boot up then your first boot drive would be the new SSD, the 120.
And you can get a Acronis for $39 from Newegg.
Okay.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you very much. For folks, for the rest of you out there who have a little bit of an Excedrin headache from listening to that, that actually, by the way, is kind of a neat way of very quickly at getting a new drive in there. The SSD is the solid-state drives. Don't have any moving parts. They're blinding fast. And what?
A little expensive yet, but they're getting better.
But a 120 isn't that really bad, I think, when you compare out there. Yep. They're not really that expensive. The neat thing about them is when you put them into your computer, you have another drive in them, the SATA drive, the regular one with the disks, et cetera. You put the operating systems and the programs on the SSD drive, and then everything else gets put on the terabyte.
See, what I would do is I'd go with the hybrid or the Fusion drives now, which have a combination of both SSD and the mechanical
with Mac,
drives.
There's a Macs that you can do that to now.
Yeah, Macs, you can order them with those, but you can also buy them on the open market now too as well.
Right. Really great. Well, essentially accomplishing what.
So it gives you the ability to boot up really fast, but yet you can store large amounts of data.
You run your operating system really fast and the programs as well. Jim from Dexter, how you doing? Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Say, I got a question about Firefox versus the Internet Explorer.
Right.
Firefox 18, it seems to take a long time to load up all the elements of the pictures in your screen as compared to Internet Explorer, what's the latest on 9?
10. 10 is the latest one. What operating system are you running?
Windows 7.
Yeah, you could run 10 on that, I think, can't you? Or sure. Is 10 only for Windows? No, 10 you can run. Yeah, you can run 10.
Yeah. My problem is not with Internet Explorer, it's with Firefox. That is a slow, it just seems forever to load up.
Have you ever tried Chrome?
No.
That, I can tell you personally, is blazing fast, very lightweight, and a beautiful browser. You get it at Google. Google.com/Chrome, and you can download it from there. Why don't you hang on a second? We'll come back to you after we take a break, okay?
All right.
Hang on the line for just a minute. We'll be back and we'll try to wrap up and give him some information to Jim on the Firefox. For the rest of you calling in, Paige, Greg, and Dave will be with you shortly to help you here on the Internet Advisor as well. Hey, I want to thank some of the folks who work behind the glass and help our program come together. Scott Iametta, who's been with us this week, thank you very much. Being coached by Rich Lazinski, our engineers. And also thank you very much to Annie Nichols, our lady of the telephones. She's the sweet voice that you hear. She's just as nice as her voice sounds. Emily, hey, thank you very much, by the way, for being here this week with us.
Well, thank you.
It's going to be a busy week for you during the auto show. You and your tweet team will be on the floor down there, right?
Yeah, we'll be tweeting away.
When will you be at the show
you
yourself?
You can find them by...
Just look up the hashtag Local4Autos and be sure to tweet with us. That's the point. It brings everyone into the same conversation.
And they don't have to be at the show to tweet. But if they did, they could find out where you are and come over and have some fun.
Sure. Everyone can meet up with just following each other on Twitter.
And again, that's hashtag Local4Autos. And that's on Twitter. Cal Carson, good also having you with us. And Gary, good to have you here as well.
Sure.
All right. Coming up, Ed Riddell will be back with us next week. Let's go back out to our caller. Oh, quickly, before we get there, we had a caller asking about Firefox 18. You were going to say something about that.
Yeah, I have noticed out on the web that there's been a lot of people talking about Firefox 18 being slow. One of the things they say that may be able to help them out is to, because you upgrade from one level of Firefox to another, a lot of times it won't hurt if you go in and under help, go to the Reset Firefox button, click that, and it will reset the Firefox application back to factory defaults at that level.
We used to do that with Internet Explorer, too.
And that may help to accelerate it a little bit.
That's interesting. Good.
I run Firefox as my second or third, depending on. I have both Chrome and Firefox on my PC for debugging purposes and whatnot. And I'm always... a verse behind just waiting because I wait and look to see if anybody's having
problems. Especially with browsers nowadays. You'll remember the days, Gary, when we started 15 years ago when you had, Netscape? And then you had, what else did you have at
that time? Well, we had Mosaic on and Netscape and we had a couple others.
Yeah. But and they weren't updating as often. Now it's often, on a monthly basis almost. And most
monthly? Firefox, at one time, it looks like it was coming out every 15 minutes. Yeah.
Well, because there were some problems, and then they kept correcting it.
And they're open source. They're open source as well.
They'll correct this one as well.
No, Chrome wouldn't be considered open source.
Chrome isn't open source anymore?
Yeah, no. But I try to keep as many browsers on there, not because of Gary's reason for diagnostics. I just like the little cute logos.
All right, on that note.
You do have to be careful once in a while with some of the browsers. And so you flip over to another one. Or, if you can, just go back to the older version.
Right, exactly. Okay, good. Paige from Canton, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you? Hello, Paige.
We're paging you.
Hi, we're paging you.
I was talking. Hi. First of all, I like your show. It's very interesting and helpful. Thank you for it.
Well, thank you.
You had a caller a little bit ago that you had recommended she go to Restore Points, and it perked a thing in my brain that I was curious about. Mm-hmm. With my Windows 7, when I first got it,
I had restore points, you know, several of them regularly. Mm-hmm. And it did it automatically, or something would come out and say, do you want to create a restore point before doing thus and such?
Right.
Yep, yep.
But it doesn't do that anymore. And the other day I had to do a restore point, mm-hmm. and I didn't have any.
Ooh.
And I just looked again at whatever I fixed, whatever. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to really do the restore point, I guess.
Okay.
But I just looked. At that time, I made a restore point, mm-hmm. and I just looked again because that piqued my curiosity, and this restore point that I had made is not there, but there is one there from my last critical update, whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What's happening? Why is it not automatically keeping them, and how are they leaving me?
That's a very good point.
Do something in the meantime that maybe turned
No, I don't think so necessarily.
I'm not going to go and say I know exactly what the answer is, but I think I do. And Ed could probably clarify this better because he's a Windows guy. When you set up a system restore on your machine, you set up a certain amount of space on your hard drive
for it.
And I think what happens is that space fills up. It knocks off the oldest restore point. So therefore, eventually they'll go away. So I think you have to go into your system restore settings and then make that space on the hard drive larger so you get more restore points. Can I say it in English?
Restore
points.
How old is your computer?
Oh, I'd say maybe 3 or 4 years.
Okay. And how big a hard drive do you have?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. It holds plenty of stuff, is getting fuller.
Okay, that may be the issue, is that as it gets fuller, what happens is the hard drive reserves that amount of space that's in your system restore settings. Let's say it's 20 gigabytes. It will set that aside so you don't keep stuff there. But as you're pushing more stuff in and you're setting more of these restore points, it's running out of space in there.
Now, one thing, do you have any restore points?
Well, right now, like I said, I went and looked, and I only have one from the 17th, and it was the Windows update. Mm. And I know that a month ago, or maybe 2 months ago, I put one on here. Because I said, gee, that's interesting, I have no restore points. Gee, I'm glad I really don't need it.
Well, there's one way you can check how much you have set aside. If you do a right mouse click on my computer, if you go to... right mouse click on my computer, then go into system properties, and then restore. Then it has a restore properties in there, and it'll show you how much space you have set aside for it. It will tell you how many versions it will keep.
A
bunch of groovy stuff like that. So do a search for system properties for system restore.
Okay.
By the way, if you were simply to go in and Google... for restore points disappearing, the first article that comes up is one from Microsoft Support, and the number for anybody who wants to keep the number down from their knowledge base is 301224, and it's specifically system restore points are missing or deleted, and it gives you a number of scenarios about what can make that happen. You can take a look at that as well. That might help you too, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Paige. Good question. Very good question. Yep. Terrible thing to find. It's missing. Greg from Northville, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got an iMac, and I have a wireless HP printer, and it constantly loses the connection to the printer, and I have to go through the whole process of choosing it again and clicking on it and telling it to join it. I've checked online on some of the blogs and that, and other people are having the same issue, but I never saw anything that would seem to help. You guys have any insight there?
Yeah, thoughts?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is that, you know, just today, it's funny you should say that, I looked on my iMac, I did a software update, and there's a bunch of updates for HP printers that they're ready to come down. So the first thing I'd do is I'd run that. So run software update and pull that down if you haven't already done it. The second thing that I would do is I would do a couple of things. Your HP wireless printer and your iMac both talk to your router. And your router could use a good reset to it as well. So you may want to reset that router by either power cycling it or checking the instructions that came with it. And there's probably a reset button on the back. You may want to press that and reset that router. That'll clear it up. And perhaps maybe that will make the connection be more reliable. going along with that router, you may want to make sure that you have your most current firmware updates to that router as well. Check your documentation on how to do that.
Yeah, I just did that the other day, and it says I'm running the same, you know, I'm up to date on that.
Okay, that's good.
I didn't know. I was under the impression that the iMac was talking right to the printer, but it's not. It's going through the router.
No, it goes to the router.
Router.
If it's a wireless
Going wirelessly, it's got to go through the router to get there.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are some things to try that out. If you have other challenges with it, get back to us through the InternetAdvisor.net website. We have forums in there, and put the question back in there. Cal will check it out as well as a number of other people, okay?
Good, thank you much.
All right, thank you very much for joining us in our program. Boy, we're out of time right now. If it kind of surprises you that we're ending right now, it's because our program began an hour early. Good news is you can catch the podcast with everything that we've been talking about today on, including our segment with the blind, and they're listening to the internet on their iPhones. And also, Emily, hey, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Don't forget, you can get in touch with her at hashtag local, the number 4 autos. She's tweeting from the auto show this week. Cal Carson and Gary Baker, thanks so much for being with us. You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisors Show, the longest-running, locally produced computer show in Detroit radio. If you'd like to find out more about our weekly show, ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit InternetAdvisor.net. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.